Do you remember when he touched you? Listen, if he touched you, you remember. And I'll never forget that night he touched me. Something happened. You know, that's salvation. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. We were talking in Sunday school about a changed mind and changed lives and all of that. And that's all the result of his touching. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Judges, the 6th chapter. I'd appreciate your prayers for my wife. She's scheduled to have that knee operated on Wednesday, orthoscopic surgery. And we're hoping by next week she'll be able to run track. Amen. That'd be great because she could never do it before. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. I want you to follow along with me. Judges chapter 6. Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abarizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And let's pray. Father, bless this time we're going to spend once again in your word, seeking principles, precepts, truths to live by, to apply, to trust in. Thank you for that change that you make in people's lives when they come to Christ. A change we could never make in ourselves. A total remaking of a person, a new creature. And we thank you for that miracle that you do at salvation. Now, Lord, there are some truths here we need to see today. There are some things we need to understand and some things that maybe we need to apply to our hearts and lives. And I pray that you would help each one of us. I pray that you would help us just to focus for a little while on what you want to say to us and what you want to do in our heart. I pray we'd be able to shut out any distractions and not allow the evil one to have any victories. And Lord, that you'll have freedom to work in our midst. I pray you would do in every heart and every life what needs to be done today, whether it's to save the lost or to convict the Christian. Lord, it's your time. Have your will and way. We pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this, An All Too Familiar Question. An All Too Familiar Question. Gideon said unto the Lord, he said, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? You know, while there are many wonderful things to be said for the Christian life, it's certainly not a life that's free of problems and trouble. And while the problems of a Christian are usually much different from those of the unsaved, they are by no means fewer in number or less in their intensity. But why is this so? Shouldn't God be able to protect and shelter His children from problems and trouble? Is God not interested in the welfare and the well-being of His children? Why, if we truly are God's children, does He allow us to suffer such difficulties? This is the same question Gideon is asking the angel of the Lord, who I believe is Jesus Christ, who had come to call Gideon. He's come to call Gideon to be a leader, to be what we call a judge, and to bring Israel out of their oppression against the Midianites, from the Midianites. But when he calls on Gideon, Gideon's first response is, Why, if the Lord be with us? Why, if God's with us and we're His children, are we suffering all this? Allow me to take a minute and just kind of set the stage for Gideon's remarks, where he's coming from. The Israelites have taken over the promised land. They've established their cities, their villages. They've planted their crops. They've established the orchards and vineyards. But right now in their history, they are being oppressed by the Midianites. Every year they would go out and sow their seed and plow the ground and prepare and plant. And for the next few months, they would spend working the crops, working the fields, cultivating, whatever needed done. They would weed, they would water until harvest time. Then just about the time it would come to gather in the harvest, here come the Midianites. And they would come down in their multitudes and with their livestock, and they would just overtake the land. And they would literally destroy, and what they couldn't destroy, they would take and ruin the crops of the Israelites, leaving them with basically nothing. And this didn't just happen once. This was an ongoing occurrence. It was happening every year. And we read there how Israel is now impoverished. They're hurting because of what's going on. We pick up the narrative here, and here's Gideon. He's actually hiding secretly, threshing some wheat so the Midianites won't get it. And we see the angel of the Lord appears. And he calls Gideon and he says, you're the one who's going to lead him out of this trouble. But before he can tell Gideon his good news, Gideon asks this question. Why? Why, if we're really the chosen people of God, why do we have so much trouble? Why do we have so many problems? This morning I want to share with you a few reasons why God's people have so many problems and so much trouble. It's not that God don't care about us. There are reasons for our trials and our troubles. The first reason we find ourselves in trials and troubles is because of our sin. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's not anything new to us. But if you'll go back to verse 1 of the text, I want you to notice something that says there. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. See, their problems, number one, was due to their sin. They had failed to obey God's word. Now, if you'll read about Israel's history during this time, when they're disobeying God's word, what they're doing is they're worshiping idols. They're intermarrying with the heathen women. And they're living with no regard to what God has said to them. Israel's problems came from their sin, and Israel's problems were a result of sin and God's chastening them for their sin. God allowed Israel to suffer ultimately in a chastening so that they would come back to Him. Through Israel's suffering, they realized how they had strayed from God. It was the suffering that brought them to the conclusion, hey, we need to make some changes. And I want you to understand, many times our problems, our troubles in our lives are the direct result of sins. We find ourselves in trouble. And we find that we can trace it to particular sins in our life. For instance, a person gets into serious financial problems because he refuses to pay the tithe. You say, you think that's a sin? Yeah, I do. Over in Malachi, it says it's robbing God. Now listen, I don't know who tithes and who doesn't, so I'm not picking on anybody in particular. I'm using a shotgun. If it hits you, that's God dealing with you. But I want to say this. People come to me and they say, oh, I have financial trouble, preacher. Can you help me? Can you counsel with me? Sure. First question I'm going to ask you, do you tithe? And when you say, no, I don't, I'm going to say, well, I don't know how I can help you if you're not obeying God. Say amen. See, because God's the one that set that up, I didn't. But here's what God says. Hey, if you obey me in the tithe, I'll throw up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out the blessings. I will take care of you and meet your needs. But we say, well, I'm not going to listen to God, and then we wonder why we get in trouble. Oh, it's quiet in here. Well, amen, preacher. That's right. You're right. How about parents have problems with their children? And why do parents have problems with their children? Well, if you sit down, you counsel with them, you talk to them, you find out it's because they have unconfessed sin in their life. They're not obeying God. They're doing things they know they shouldn't be doing, and then they wonder why my kids do. Listen, friend, many times our problems are a direct result of our sin. By the way, let me say this to parents. The biggest problem we have with young people is the parents. Say amen. Look at our country. Why do you think we're having such problems with our young people? It all comes back to the home. Children aren't taught respect. Children aren't taught self-control. Children aren't taught values, how to work, all those kind of things in the home, and then we wonder why society is the way it is. It's what we've bred. So we need to understand oftentimes the problems we're having are a direct result of sin in our life. How about, listen, I preach against using tobacco. I don't apologize for that. Now, if you use tobacco, that's between you and the Lord, but I want you to understand there's a price to pay for using tobacco. People smoke cigarettes, they dip snuff, they chew tobacco, you know, they snort, whatever they do with it. But how many times people have lung cancer? How many times people have bladder cancer? By the way, that is connected with cigarette smoke. How many times people have emphysema? How many times people have all these kind of problems, and it stems back from the fact they wouldn't obey God and quit that habit? How many people have had oral cancer because they wanted to dip down? And just, I don't smoke, I just dip. I carry a cup so I can spit. Isn't that beautiful? And pretty soon they're having to cut parts of your mouth out. You say, why am I having this problem? Because you had sin in your life. How about the person who's impure sexually, and they're running around doing things they shouldn't be doing, and pretty soon they have all kinds of diseases? Huh? Why am I having these problems? Because of sin in your life. We need to understand what we sow, we reap. When we sow sin, we're going to reap the results of sin. Well, people think they can sin and get away with it. It don't happen that way. So we see this was a result of their sin. Why do we have such trouble? We're God's people. Why do we have all these problems? Well, it could be because of sin. It could be because of our enemy. You know, we have an enemy. He's there all the time. Peter says, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy. As nice a person as you are, you have an enemy. If you're saved, he's going to work against you day and night, every opportunity to try to get you not to live for God. And he's not always going to entice you with good things. He can bring trouble to your life too. And sometimes the problems we have are satanic. You see, over in Luke 22:31, Jesus talking to Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He's saying to Peter, hey, the devil wants to put you through the grinder. How does he do that? With trials and troubles and difficulties. Satan was the adversary of these people. He sought to pervert them and cause them to follow the false gods and the idols of their day. You know, one of the ways Satan fought them and was their enemy and tried to get them to worship idols, you listening? Lust. Lust. He would work in them and they would see the heathen women. And he would entice them that they were more beautiful or more desirable or whatever than their women, and they would go after the heathen women. When they went after the heathen women would entice them to worship their gods. Have you ever read about Solomon? That's exactly where he went. That's exactly how he got messed up. He started marrying heathen women, and because they worshiped these false gods, he would build them idols and temples and things that are false gods. He got way off track. But who led him to do that? See, there's an enemy working against us, and oftentimes our problems stem back to our enemy attacking us and us not fighting the battle. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's constantly at work in our lives. He's constantly trying to hinder us and discourage us and tempt us. You say, why am I having all these problems? Well, it could be because of your sin. It could be satanic opposition. Thirdly, it could be because of our failure to follow God's word. Joshua 1:8. We've been singing this, or we did sing it for a while. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He tells Joshua, hey, stick to the scriptures and stay true to the book. Then you will have good success. Israel failed to follow God's word. Look at verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. They knew what God told them to do and what God told them not to do. They had Moses' law, and they had all the information they needed, but they just chose not to obey it. Reminds me of a lot of Christians. As a pastor, I found that many of the problems Christians have today come because they refuse to follow the Word of God. Many Christians today refuse to study and find out even what God's Word says. Remember what he told Joshua? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How much time do you spend reading God's Word? You read it every day? We have our charts back there. We have one for people who read from the Bible every day and one for people who are going to read through the Bible in a year. You say, aren't they the same? No. No. You could read through the Bible in a couple of months if you want to. Does that amaze you? No, if you really dedicated the time and you know, every spare moment you had and whatever, you could read through the Bible in a couple of months. But we also need to read through the Bible, read in the Bible every day. That's our spiritual food. That's how we learn. That's what feeds our soul. And the reason a lot of Christians are so weak in their Christian life is they're anemic. They're not getting nourished. Now, you come every week and I'll try to feed you. That's one of my responsibilities, feed the sheep. And I'm going to try to feed you. And if you'll come Sunday morning, Sunday school, and Sunday morning service, and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you're going to get some food. But a lot of Christians don't do that. They come maybe an hour on Sunday morning, and then we don't see them again. Well, I guess maybe you feel like you can live on that. But the fact is, you can't. If that's your case, you're going to be anemic in your Christian life. Now, you need to be in church services where you get fed. And, more importantly, you need to be feeding yourself. Get in the Word of God. Read it. Think about it. And again, I've said this before, don't just read a verse over your Cheerios in the morning. I mean, do some serious reading. And I'm not saying you have to spend 10 hours a day reading your Bible. But have a time that you read your Bible. Whether it's a chapter, whether it's 10 verses, however you decide, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to read this and concentrate on this and learn from this. Read your Bible. That's how you learn what God's Word says. You can't obey God's Word if you don't know what it says. Now, we have a pretty good idea, but it's wonderful to get in there and see it come off the page and kind of hit us. Hey, yeah, that's what God said. But too many Christians just don't want to follow it. Some not only don't follow it out of ignorance, some just flat out rebel against God's Word. I encounter people sometimes and I say, well, I know what the Bible says, but here's what I'm going to do. Have at it. I can't stop you. But understand, there's a price to pay for that. Why do we have such trouble? Because I'm not following what God said. I know what He told me. I just said no. You know, I was thinking about somebody who had that problem. Remember Jonah? He disobeyed God's word, didn't he? God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. He went 180 degrees the other way. Look where he ended up. Down in the belly of a fish. Now, listen. I'm not big on freshwater fishing, but I like to go in the ocean. And I like to go with Pastor Fedena because he always goes for bluefish. And he knows how to get bluefish. Now, bluefish aren't they're not the greatest eating fish. But they're a lot of fun to catch. A lot of fun to catch. But I found the negative side of going blue fishing. They have an oil about them that if you get on you, you can't get rid of it, it seems like. I went one time. Now, most times, you know, I'm careful enough that I don't have a problem with it. When I come home, you know, my wife washes my clothes, everything's okay. A couple of years ago I went, and we got into the bluefish, and I don't know why I was getting bluefish on me. Well, before I come home, I changed clothes and everything, and there was a place to take a shower, and I put my clothes in a bag. And a couple of days later, my wife was doing the laundry. She came out, she said, "Hon, I washed your fishing clothes." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, after that, I washed another load of clothes. The second load of clothes came out smelling like bluefish." I said, well, wash them again. They still came out smelling like bluefish. There was one skirt I think she had. She washed over and over and over again. She could never get the smell of bluefish out of there. Well, why'd you say all that, preacher? Because I can't imagine what it was like down in that fish's belly for Jonah. Huh? Not the most pleasant experience. But why was he there? Was God being mean? Was God being unfair to him? Was God picking on him? Did God not care about him? No, he was there because he disobeyed God. Listen, friend, how many times do we find ourselves in situations that are anything but pleasant? And we can look, we know directly why we are there, because we disobeyed God. Listen, Gideon said, why are we having all this trouble? And I think in his heart, he's thinking, God don't care about us. God's abandoned us. God just don't like us anymore. Blah, blah, blah. No. These are some of the reasons they were in their problems and some of the reasons we have such trouble. And then, why do we have such trouble? Because God refines us through our fiery trials. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. One of the reasons we have trials and troubles and tribulations is because God's working on us. God is molding and shaping us through the trials and tribulations of our life. Listen, it's the problems and the difficulties he uses as a spiritual sandpaper to smooth those rough edges we have. When has God been the most able to influence your life and work in your life? When you've been in trouble. See, when we get in trouble, we start questioning, why am I in this problem? And oftentimes, that's when God will point it out. Say, hey, this needs to change. This needs to change. You got a rough edge over here that I need to take care of. Sometimes God lets us go through the trouble so we'll become more, you ready? Paul said it, patient. Anybody in here have a problem with patience? Be honest. I do. I admit it. Patience. Yeah. Wow. Well, how do we work on that? Through trials and tribulations. That we learn how to keep ourselves and be long-suffering and all we're supposed to do when we go through the trial. Listen, if everything's going hunky-dory, we're patient. Nothing to be impatient about. But boy, when the trial and the trouble and the difficulty comes, How about toughen us up for the next assault? I said God's working in our life when we go through the troubles. Sometimes he's taking us through something because he knows there's something even heavier coming down the road. And he's getting us prepared. He's toughening us up because there's something waiting for us. Sometimes he wants to teach us how to forgive. I'm going through some things with somebody. I'm going through some difficulties and hurts and heartaches. He wants to teach us how to forgive people. If there wasn't an offense, you'd never learn how to forgive. I mean, if you just got along with everybody all the time and never any friction, never any problem, you never learn to forgive somebody. By the way, that's a real part of Christianity. And that's one of the hardest parts of Christianity. Maybe he wants to teach us how to control our temper. I lost my temper. No, you didn't. You found it. It was there all the time. But sometimes we go through the difficulties, you know, and the hard places and the troubles and the trial so that we can learn to not react, but act. One final thing. Why? Why do we have all these trials and troubles? We're Christians. We're God's people. Ultimately, because he wants to draw us back to him. That's what chastening is all about. When God allows the trials and tribulations in our life, oftentimes it's because we've wandered and he's saying, hey, you got to get back here. You've wandered away. And so some difficulties come, some heartaches come, some trials and tribulations. You know, when we read about Israel here, you know, they had a cycle in the book of Judges. And it's the same cycle we live in. What cycle are you talking about? Well, first we sin. Israel sinned. We said that, didn't we? So we sin against God. Well, then we suffer the consequences of sin, the chastening. God deals with us. That's unpleasant. So we've sinned and now we're suffering the results of our sin. So what do? We repent. Oh God, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I know I was wrong. Please forgive me. Help me. And God, in his grace and his love and his mercy, comes to our rescue and helps us. Just like he did Israel. Every time he sent a judge, he was helping them. He was responding to their cry. They would sin. They would be under the chastening. They would cry out to God. God would send them a deliverer. Back to sin. They go back to sin. They'd be good for 40 years. Most of the time, you read about 40 years. And then pretty soon, they're back in sin. And you know, sometimes that's a cycle of our life. But understand, sin brings its consequences, but then repentance. And the consequences are oftentimes God working to bring us back. God working because he loves us and he knows where we are. It's not a good place for us. It's a place of hardship and suffering. And he says, come back to me. Come back to me. Oh my. You know, sometimes God has to use the difficulty and the trial and everything to get our attention. I mentioned Jonah. When did Jonah finally allow God to get his attention and come back to God where God wanted him to be? When he got down in that fish's belly and had to go through all that. That's when he came to the place where he said, hey, how about this? How about the prodigal son? Remember him? Oh, he went to dad. He said, I want my inheritance now. Good thing I wasn't his dad. Any of you feel that way? How many of you feel, good thing I wasn't his dad? I would have gave him his inheritance. Size 9 inheritance. But his dad was gracious. And he said, okay, I'll give you an inheritance. That's what you want. He gave it to him. And the boy took off. He went to the far country. That means he went out in the world. He went out where everybody was having all the fun. You know where they were. They were going to the nightclubs and the casino and down there at the beach getting naked, and they were doing the drugs and they were drinking the liquor and they were living the good life. Huh? You know, that's how some Christians look at the world. Like they're having all the fun. And so he went down there and he got into all that fun. And the Bible says he spent all his living. He blew it all. And then he ended up like many times Christians do when they've wasted it all on the world and the world throws them on the ash heap. Huh? He got down there and he spent it all and he partied, and no doubt he bought his friends all their parties, you know, and all that mess. He spent it all, the Bible says. And then he ended up with nothing. And where were his friends then? They weren't around because the Bible says that he ended up, now watch this, this is a Jew boy. He ended up feeding hogs. You know, the Jews wanted nothing to do with swine. But here he is feeding the pigs. Have you ever been around a hog farm? It's nasty. It really is. And that's where he finds himself in the hog pen feeding the hogs. Not only that, all he can find to eat is what he's feeding the hogs. Now, I'd say that's a pretty dire situation. Why did he end up there? Because of his sin. But did God abandon him? See, the dad is the picture of God. And here's this young man who spent it all, and now he's got nothing, and he comes to that place of repentance. The Bible says he came to himself. That indicates to me his mind changed. And the light came on. He said, hey, why, I could go home to my daddy and be a servant to him and be better off than I am now. And he returned to his dad. But look, thank God for the story he gave us, the illustration he gave us. Daddy didn't make him a servant. Daddy welcomed him, hugged him, kill the fatted calf and put a ring on his finger and get a new coat and put it on. Daddy, he praised him, welcomed him home. And that's how God does. But see, sometimes we have to go through the chastening of God to get to that place where we'll return to him. How many believers have ended up in that hog pen? Not literally, but you know what I'm talking about. Ended up at the bottom. At the end of themselves. You know what I've found? Many times God has to put a person down at the bottom, at the end of themselves, so the only place they can look is up. This morning I want you to just get this idea. Here's Gideon. The angel of the Lord's coming to tell him, God's going to deliver them. God's going to do something for them. But before he ever really gets to say anything to Gideon about what's going to go on, Gideon says, why? Why if we're God's people do we have all this trouble? Why are we hurting so bad? Why is all this coming on us? Why are the Midianites taking all our food? Why is God letting this happen to us? And that's how a lot of Christians feel a lot of times. But listen, there's reasons when we're in that valley, we're in that place of despair, we're in that place of hurt. And when we get there, we need to stop and say, why am I here? Now, for Gideon, the answer was easy. You've disobeyed God. You haven't followed His word. You've disobeyed Him and gone your own way. And when they straightened that out, they got right back with God. We need to, when we get there, why am I here? And when God shows us why we're here, we need to straighten it out. Listen, is it disobeying God? Is it a battle with Satan? It might be a battle with Satan where you just need to tough it up and tough it out and stand firm. It may be that God's trying to draw you back. You've walked away from Him and God's saying, hey, time to come home. Whatever it is. Get this morning. When we go through the trials, the troubles, the tribulations and all, there's a reason for it. And we need to determine what needs to be done and fix it. Don't just go and sit under the juniper tree and say, God don't love me anymore. I got all this trouble. No. No, God's trying to do something in your life. Find out what it is. And take care of it. Maybe it's to get back in His Word. Maybe it's to get right with Him about some sin in your life. Maybe it's He has something for you to do and you've been a Jonah. Whatever it is, find out. You know what I've found? If you'll ask God to show you, He will. Yeah. Sometimes we don't want to admit to ourselves. We don't want to own up to it. But if you'll sincerely say, oh God, why am I in this mess? He'll show you. Yeah? And you just need to straighten it out. Let's bow our heads for a minute.